when somebody is about to die, not necessarily as Maharaj Parikshit, and is not at that level, or doesn't have also as Shukadeva Goswami is going to recite the Srimad Bhagavatam, then what that person should do? Because it's not in that situation.
So the devotee is asking a question. If you're about to die, and you're not Parikshit Maharaj, and have the fortune of being blessed with 7 days. He was fortunate in many ways because it said he would die in 7 days. So then he was smart, so he utilized his 7 days by hearing the Bhagavad, Srimad Bhagavatam, from a great Paramahansa, Bhakta, Param Vaishnav, Shukamuni. Shukamuni spoke the Bhagavad, everyone knows that, and of course he got perfection by hearing that. If we're not that fortunate, have that fortune of Parikshit, none of us have that fortune, because one fortune he had is he knew when he was going to die. We don't know when we're going to die. So you're asking, if someone doesn't have that fortune, then how should he prepare to die, or how should he die?
Yes, Maharaj. For instance, somebody has cancer, they know they will die in 2 months, 3 months, 6 months.
Or 6 minutes. We don't know. Okay, someone has some terminal. You're saying someone has some terminal disease. I mean, we all have a terminal disease because we're born, and the disease is death. So terminal means termination, means end, the finishing point. It's all going to end someday. We don't know when that day is. It could be today, tomorrow, any day. So just take this hypothetical person that has a terminal disease, like which is usually like cancer for everyone in this age. Then how should he or she prepare? I guess it depends on the individual. It will depend a lot on the individual devotee's conception of perfection, of what he sees as perfection for his or her life. And then whatever his idea of the spiritual perfection is, then he or she should absorb themselves in that perfection. For example, if a devotee, as we know it, and you and I know it, a devotee is a devotee of Radha and Krishna. So they should spend all their time hearing about Radha and Krishna. Of course, even when they're, before they have cancer or anything, every single day of their life. But they should spend all their time hearing about Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. All different books about Radha and Krishna's Madhurya Leela in Vrindavan. And they should hear bhajans about Radha and Krishna. Because it's 24 hours a day, maybe some diseases they can't sleep much, or hear bhajans about Radha and Krishna, read about Radha and Krishna's leelas, see pictures of Radha and Krishna's leelas, many, many paintings, and think about those leelas. Look at those pictures. The person can download on the internet, on their computer, all thousands and thousands of pictures of Radha and Krishna together in a leela, like Julin, or like here, there's a painting above you, it must be on the internet. It shows Radharani was playing the veena, and then Krishna suddenly came up and surprised her. She was playing the veena one day, and then he came up and surprised her. Then he started rendering some simple services to her, and she is very shy and very surprised. So they can collect many different pictures of Radha and Krishna and look at them and think about those leelas, and think how sweet and attractive and wonderful those leelas must be, and how it must be to be there and see Krishna and Radharani like this, Radharani with the veena across her lap and the Yamuna right there, and or whatever, maybe you want to see it as Radhakunda or whatever, and Krishna is there. So collect lots of pictures of Radha and Krishna's leelas, hear about Radha and Krishna's leelas, and chant Radha and Krishna's Kriyanta Maha Mantra. That's our names, Radha and Krishna. And meditate on Radha Krishna's pastimes inside the mantra. And don't see or hear or remember anything but Radha and Krishna's pastimes. And then the final moment will come and we'll cry out, Radhe, Radhe. And then Radharani will do the needful.
Person is in Vrindavan, and maybe they say, no, you have to go to follow treatment in Delhi. should go or stay just better in Vrindavan, because anyway he's going to leave the body. Then
the devotee may be living in Vrindavan and they succumb to some disease, or they get some cancer, or they already have some cancer and they need some, you're saying they're already seriously diseased.
Yeah.
And they're living in Vrindavan. And so someone's suggesting go to Delhi and get treatment or something. There's no one answer to such a question. In other words, someone has come to Vrindavan with a terminal disease, cancer. They come with cancer with a time frame. I know one godbrother, he came to Vrindavan with cancer and they said he would die in 2 months. So he came prepared to die in 2 months. He lived 2.5 years and then finally he died. It depends on the individual. If it's clear that it's terminal and it's not, you can't change the course. I mean, you say that he has terminal, that means there's no turning back. And so what's the point? I mean, what's the point? If you say, if he or she has an opportunity to go to Delhi and get some very advanced and sophisticated treatment for their disease, should they go? Well, they should go if that treatment will guarantee 100% success. Why not? Go there, spend a few days, get fully cured, and then live longer and have more chance to do bhajan and become premi bhakta. As is, we have to have prema to go to Krishna. Anything short of that means another birth. So, of course, it's a very individual decision. Otherwise, what's the point of going? The only point of going to get treatment or cure is if there's a 100% guarantee you can revert, or whatever they call it, you know, cure the cancer. That happens sometimes. Devotees, they have some cancer and then they get some kind of treatment and it goes away. So we can't say, so that's a good thing. Because devotees, the longer they live, the better it is for them and for the world. Devotees are very few. Manushanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhye. Now thousands and thousands of men, Narayana Parayana, very few are devotees of Krishna. So if they stay longer, when the devotees dance in kirtan and raise their hands and dance, their feet are creating auspiciousness for the earth. And whenever they're glancing, it's creating purity. The earth is purified by the glance of the Vaishnavas and the touch of their feet and the words that they speak. It purifies the ethers. The common ether is full of contamination, all nonsense, talk and SMS and microwave transmission. All the ethers are jam-packed with radio waves and microwaves full of maya and nonsense. So a devotee lives, he's always chanting Krishna's name and purifying the ethers. So his existence is very pavitram and mangalam. Pavitram and mangalam for the jagat, the Vaishnava. He's a walking ATM, anytime mercy. So stay alive, it's good. So I don't think there's any one answer, should he go or not go. It's a terminal cancer, but there's a chance that he has very sophisticated, good treatment in Delhi, it may work then very well. But then what we've seen in ISKCON, I'm familiar with some senior devotees, they left their bodies, they would try as much as they could within their means to cure the cancer, flying all around the world, because they are very, you know, these sannyasis, they have a lot of money. Some of these sannyasis, they have a lot of money or followers, whatever, it's all Krishna's mercy, Krishna's arrangement. So they were collecting lots of money from different donors and trying all kinds of treatments. I know one sannyasi went to South America, then he went to Fiji, then he went to all around the world trying different new age herbal, all different kinds of treatments to cure his disease. But when it was finally, he turned every stone, as they say, he turned every stone. Well, is this a cure? Is that a cure? When he realized that it was not happening, then he came and he sat in the holy dham and left his body surrounded by loving devotees chanting kirtan, a wonderful life and a wonderful departure. So it wasn't maya for him to travel all around the place. He could have just said, oh, I'll just sit down in Vrindavan and die. Somehow that may be there also. It depends on the individual devotee. Now another way to look at it, if the person is If it's very clear that it's terminal, and he knows that he has a few months or whatever, and he can somehow stay in Vrindavan, then he should certainly just stay in Vrindavan and forget about the treatment and just die peacefully, because there's a chance he'll die out of Vrindavan. If you go out of Vrindavan and they do the surgery, and like they have a joke sometimes, they say, yes, this is because I went to medical school for this medical thing, you know, degree, college. So there was a joke they used to say, yes, how did you do? Yes, yes, sir. The junior doctor reports to the senior doctor. Yes, sir. The operation was a complete success, but the patient died. So I followed all your teachings, and I did a wonderful surgery, and the operation was completely successful. Oh, yes, very good. But what? The patient died. Well, then the whole thing is a failure. What's your operation is not a success if the patient's dead, you know. So the chance, this poor, you know, person, devotee, you know, you or me or whatever, going to Delhi with hopes of a cure, then dying, you know, the operation was a success and we die, and then that's okay. We can die in Delhi also, remembering Krishna. Yam yam vapi smran bhavam yat tyajajanti kalevaram. Krishna says, wherever you are, if you die remembering me, you come to me. Yanti mam. He says, yanti mam, you come to me. So it doesn't really matter where we die or how we die. It doesn't matter where we die, but it matters how we die. So we should hope and pray that we're fully remembering Krishna's nam, rup, guna, and lila when we die. Wherever that is, and however that is, we don't know. Or wherever it is, we don't know. But we hope and pray that Krishna will give us the ability to remember him at the time of death and cry out for his mercy. Personally, I'm an advocate of, because if a person thinks, who am I? I'm just this little devotee. I'm not a guru. I have no disciples. I don't have, what's the point? Now I'm in Vrindavan. Let me just, if I live, what do I live for? I have no wife, I have no husband, I have no children. I'm just a widow or an old man or old brahmachari, whatever. And my mother and father are dead. I have no brothers. I'm just one soul. So I don't care about the treatment. Let me just stay in Vrindavan. I'll just stay in Vrindavan. Do or die, it's all for Rai. Rai is Radharani, Rai. So some devotees have taken a vow never to leave Vrindavan, no matter what happens. So how much Radharani must be attracted to such a thing? I mean, if they're Indian citizens, because if you're not Indian, you can't really take such a vow because you have to go out for visas and whatnot. So somehow Radharani was very kind to us and allowed us to, she accepted us and gave us citizenship in India, which for me meant ultimately citizenship in Brajadam. So we were staying in Vrindavan, and we did go out sometimes, but now we prayed Radharani that we can just stay here in Vrindavan, and no matter what happens to this body, I will stay, I will live in, if I live, it'll be in Vrindavan. If I die, I hope, I can't say even where I'll die, but I hope it's in Vrindavan. But I won't leave Vrindavan for any reason, to go for preaching, to go for healing my body or anything like that. I don't want to go. Because I'm one of those people, I have nobody, I'm just nobody around me, no tail, I'm alone, one person alone. So if I live or die, what is the benefit? So it's in their hands, it's really in their hands. But I leave it to Radharani. So I like that dependence. Like Radharani, I'm in the Dham. Like, how do you leave the Dham? Because Krishna says, if you come to me, you never return to the material world. There's five verses in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, if you come to me, you never come back. Right? 15, let's look at 15:6. 15:6 and 4:9, chapter 4, verse 9, 15:6. It says, and you come to me, that's it, you're out. Ball game's over. Chapter 15, verse 6. Krishna is speaking about the spiritual world. Na tad basayate suryo na shishanko na pavakaha yad gatva na nivartante tad dama paramam mama tad dam. Vrindavan Dham. Tad means that Dham. Oh. Tad Dhamam Paramam. Tad Dhamam Paramam Mama. It's mum mama. It's really nice. Tad Dham Paramam Mama. That spiritual world, there's no need. He said, what does he say? In the spiritual world, there's no need for the material sun or moon or fire. This is the Sanskrit telling that. Pavaka means fire. And then there's no need for the sun or moon or fire. They're all there, but there's no need. Here, if we have no sun, we're all dead. If we have no fire, we're all dead. But there, they just serve the lila. The sun serves the lila. Radharani does Surya Puja. And then the moon serves the lila. If we don't have moonshine, if the plants don't have moonshine, they don't have any taste. Krishna says, I become the, it's right in the Gita, maybe 10th chapter, 11th chapter. He said, I become the moon and supply the juice of life to all the vegetables. So the taste of vegetables and fruits comes from the moonshine. Krishna's telling in the Gita, he said, I supply, by my moon rays, I give taste. And the proof of that is, the scientists, I remember studying when I was in college long ago, scientists were talking about, hydroponic gardening. They have a big fish tank full of water, and they put the seeds in there, and they germinate the seeds somehow, and they grow tomatoes. They have a Grolux light, you know, these special lights, it's called Grolux, special, like, kind of greeny, whitey light for plants. It's a like Tulsi lamp, plant lamp. So that and they have a heated greenhouse, and it's in Alaska or some freezing cold place. Huge, huge greenhouse. It's called greenhouse tomatoes. And they're available on the market. And they become red and everything. But they look like a tomato, but they taste like nothing, like fake. So this is the juice of life. So Krishna said there's no need. He says anyone who comes there, those who reach it never return to the material world. Tad dhamma paramam. Yad gatva na nivartante. Yad gatva means gaman. Once you have gone there, nivartante, you don't come back. Like we see in the, after Dan Gati, we come to one kund called Danivartan kund on the Govardhan Prikumarg on the right hand side. Maybe you can't remember. Danivartan. So when the gopis got taxed at Dan Gati by Dan Bihari, later down the road a little bit, they got back to him. So Nivartan means getting back. They tied up Krishna and poured yogurt over his head, and there's a whole leela about that. You know? They dressed him in a sari. So, okay, put this yogurt pot on your head. You know, like you tormented us, you tortured us at Dan Gati. It's called Dan means donation. So, Dani Rai, it's called Dani Rai. So then Danivartan means that we came back, we got back at you. You know, you get me, I get you back double. So Krishna was just taxing them. So they got him back double. And even Acharyas, I've heard tell the story that Krishna was after the Dan Leela and Dan Gati, where Krishna really, you know, humiliated the gopis and taxed them and the whole Leela's there, Dan Leela. Then he had a handful of gopas, 20, 30 gopas, one day walking near Govardhan, walking around with his head up real boastful and cocky and proud. So we showed those gopis. Hey, Mata Mangal, hey, Sri Dham. We, you know, just over here at Dan Gati, we showed those gopis and we gave them a good lesson. We got good laughs. You know, did you see that? See that look in Radharani's eye when she was trying to go away and you pulled her sari and she gave that kila kinchit bhav. Kincha means a little. Kila means a lot, you know, lots. So kila kinchit bhav means a little of many bhavas. So there's a mixture of seven different bhavas. Seven different sentiments or feelings were mixed in. Her mouth was looking angry, her eyes were looking happy, and there was and little tears coming, many, many emotions. When Krishna did, like, don't do that, I'm angry, but actually I'm very happy you did that. You know, I'm looking like angry, but I'm actually happy, so there's happiness in my eyes, but there's angry. I'm like, hey! You know. Amazing. Kila Kinchit. It's called Kila Kinchit Bhav. You can see in a Shastra. So that was in Dan Gati. So Krishna's joking like that with Sri Dham. Remember that look in Radharani, that bhav, that Nayaka bhav, Kila Kinchit. Oh yeah, Krishna, that was beautiful. So then the gopis are all hiding in the bushes. It's kind of funny. They're hiding in the bushes because they were going to ambush. They're going to ambush Krishna. From behind the bushes, they're going to jump out. That's why they call it ambush. You hide behind the bush, then you go. You know, ambush. so they were all scattered, about 200-300 gopis. They all had mirrors, like shiny rocks or some diamonds or whatever that, some kind of mirror in those days. Some metal, shiny metal, silver. Usually they use some highly polished silver they would use for metal mirrors. So they were signal. They had little, pocketbook mirrors. The sun was shining, and it would hit the mirror, and then would make like you can reflect it on someone's face. You know, like if you have a mirror, you know, and the sun's shining, you can angle it, and the sun will hit the mirror and shine on your friend's face when you're kids. I don't know. We used all funny stuff. So they were signaling each other. Because they're all hidden in the bushes. They're coming. The coward boys. Coward boys are coming. Mm-hmm. So then they waited, and they had a plan already made. So then the coward boys came, and these 200 gopis jumped out. They surrounded them and said, okay, now we're going to get back at you, Don Nivartan. It means to come back. We're coming, Nivartan. We're going to come back. Yad gatva na nivartante tad dhamma paramamama. So when they come to Krishna's dham, they don't come back here again. So this is just a little lila on this Nivartan, on this word Nivartan from the Gita 15.6, Nivartan. So then they surrounded Krishna, and he said, Srinam, what are we going to do now? I don't know. Hey, Madhumangal, or Subal. Subal, what are we going to do? Say something. You know, hey, I don't know. So, okay, Krishna, you gave us such a hard time. So now, hey, Radharani said, Lalita, let's change those clothes. You know, we want him to become a gopi now. So then they took Krishna's dhoti off, and his Pitambara dhoti, and they put a sari on and put a choli. And then they said, okay, Krishna, you're taxing us. So now I'm going to become Krishna, Radharani said. And Lita said, yes, and I'm Subal. And then Vishaka said, yes, and I'm Madhumangal. And then all the gopis, they changed, Nivartan, you know, they changed the roles. They all became the coward, they became the Bab, they took on the Bab. Okay. And then looked at Krishna, and they said, hey, Radharani. And then Rupa Mantri put a big pot, clay pot, of yogurt on top of Krishna's head. And then they stopped, and then two gopis, they took off from Krishna's turban. He has like a yellow rope. He has a yellow rope with some pearls on it. And that's he uses for tying the legs of the calves. And when he's not doing that, he just ties it, you know, like UP style. You have a gumsha, and you take a bath with the gumsha, then you dry it out, then you wrap around, you know, you put it around your head, you know, UP style. And you go to, So Krishna uses the rope. Whoops. He uses the rope to tie down the cows, and then when he's not tying down the cows, then he throws it on his head, UP style, just puts on his turban. It's in the Bhagavatam, you can see it. Yellow silk rope with little pearl tassels on each end. Real cool. He's a king's son. Fancy rope. Not just some rope. It's cool. I think it's yellow. The rope is yellow and has white pearl tassels on each end. Like some lady has a sash. Ties a sash or something. All right, so I was on the Prikama, and these guys sell this stuff on the street. And this guy was selling all lady things, you know, like little rubber bands for the hair and little pins put in your hair. Because when I meditation, I dress Radharani, I do Sringar. So I was a little curious. I said, what? And there was some stick, you know, some like dark sesame wood stick with little like wooden bells hanging in the end of it. It was like about this long. I said, what is it? Is this some fancy cudgels? Is this sort of cudgel? You put cudgel on the eyes? You know, I tried to think. He said, no, ladies, they take their hair, they put it in a bun, and somehow tie it up, and they go, tot, and then they have to make it cute, so they had this little wooden bell hanging, ting, 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 on the back. You know, I said, oh. So now, I see it. You know, seeing is believing. So when you see, then you can actually, you know, remember. So then I said, what are these? You know, like little, really cool little, all little plastic. You can just imagine in the old days of kings, it was actually jewels and rubies and diamonds. So there's little things, little like thread, colorful threads and little jewels. I said, what is this? Is this some jewelry or something? So no. This is like when a lady puts on her choli, you pin this on the back and it hangs down. It's like an ornament for the back of the choli. It was like two little tassels. It was like tassels, little tassels, little balls, you know, different and pink and blue and all bright colors. I said, really? I said, yeah, they put on the choli, you know. Then they stick this on the back so it gives a little extra cool design. So I think, okay, then when I meditate, now I'm going to put this thing on there. So it's very anukulya. It's just going on the parikrama and seeing that It's Anukulya for Krishna's Leela. Oh, and there was some other thing. It was really cool. This little round thing. There's a bunch of little round little buttons like that. I said, what is that? What is this? You know, Hindi. He said, well, this is a pin. It was in a package, so I didn't like look at it. I was just curious because I just want to see and now remember. I took my picture, you know, with my brain, so I can remember later. I said, what is it? He said, so much favorable for Leela Smarn just talking to some guy selling some junk on the side of the road. It was amazing. I was in bliss, actually. I could almost see Radharani and all this paraphernalia. It was like too much. So then I said, and this little, that little circle of pearls, and then around that was some little blue gems, and in the middle of that was a white one. And there's all, they're all about this big, about, you know, an inch and a half across. And a bunch of, you know, little plastic bag, keep them looking clean, of all the dust, you know, keep them clean. He said, no, that's for pinning the sari. And I said, and he said, you know, when they put the sari over here, they put this, they pin it. I said, oh, that's cool. That's really cool. Then I look more at it and think, oh, because I've seen sometimes, you know, ladies, you know, that like this sari, you know, they use some safety pin. Because he had next to it, he had these safety pins. You know, there's a, they go, you know, this is pins, you know, baby pin and diaper pin. So this is the thing. You don't come back to the spiritual world once you go there. So now, the whole reason I'm telling you that is that you're saying the person has terminal cancer, they're in Vrindavan dying, and they leave. So I feel that the reason I talk about this verse, this Vrindavan, that Vrindavan is the same. So my feeling is this, if we've entered this Vrindavan, then there's yad gatwa nanivartante, yad gatwa. If you have entered Vrindavan, and I've entered Vrindavan by Krishna's grace, Guru's grace, and Radharani's mercy. We've entered and we're living here. So I feel that this is yad gatwa nanivartante. So nanivartante. So there's no. I'm not going back. You follow? And in 4:9, you can see the same point. Krishna. It's nice to hear the Bhagavad Gita. It's our eternal friend, from beginning to end. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha tyaktva deham punar janma nayati mam meti sorjana. Chapter 4, verse 9, Bhagavan Sri Krishna said, tyaktva deham punar janam janma. It says tyaktva means tyag, tyagi, you know, tyagi means renounce, to reject, to throw away, forget about. Deha means body. Punar, again, janma. Nayati mamati sorjana, said one who knows the nature of Krishna's appearance does not upon leaving his body take birth again in the material world, but he attains my eternal abode. It says he comes to me. Eti sorjana. He attains me, which means you go to the spiritual world. So we don't come back. He said he does not take birth again. Tyaktva deham punar janam nayati. Janam means birth, punar means again, and na means not again. So not again, never again take birth once we go to Krishna's loka. So this Vrindavan is Krishna's place. You see in Brihad Bhagavatamritam, the story of Gopakumar. There's two parts of the Brihad Bhagavatamritam. One part is Gopakumar, and he was born in Govardhan, right here in Govardhan. It's just say 500 years ago. Siddhartha Goswami wrote the book. He says fiction, and it's a fiction, but it's some 500 years ago, some UP, Brijbasi, coward boy, born in Vrindavan. So somehow he's by the Yamuna. Yamuna used to flow near Govardhan. I don't know about 500 years ago, but during Krishna's time it did. Even near Govardhan, there's a village called Yamuna Mata. Yamuna Mata means Kalindi, means Yamuna. It's named after that, and it's very fertile soil, because Yamuna was flowing right there. It's just south of Govardhan. And then now it used to come this way, through Nandagram, Govardhan, then go down Vrindavan like that. Now it's so far. It's over there somewhere, far away. Far away from Barsana, far away from Nandagram, far away from Govardhan, far away from Vrindavan, which means Yamuna is not too much wants to be connected. You know, she's moving away, whatever, disappearing. It's actually predicted in Puranas that it says in the Puranas is after 5,000 years of Kali Yuga, Yamuna will disappear, and after 10,000 or 15,000 years of Kali Yuga, something like that, Ganga will disappear. It's predicted. So 5,000 years of Kali Yuga is already over, and Yamuna's not even here. So what that all really means, I don't know, but that's the statement. So this is the point that coming, we're living and dying of terminal disease or dying in Vrindavan. We should not go back. We should not go to Delhi or not go anywhere. Just stay here. Krishna, you accepted me. Yad gatvani vartante. I don't. There's no going back. I'm here. Let me live in Vrindavan. Let me die in Vrindavan. This is the perfection. If we can be so fortunate, I pray for that fortune that I can die in Vrindavan. Shri Bhagavan ki jai.